heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
This is The National Defense. Randy Miller along with Jerry Newberry, Communications Director for the VFW. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving on active duty, the Guard and Reserves. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and of course, it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Joined by a gentleman we had on the program a couple of weeks ago. It's Ricky LeBlanc from the Sokolov Law Group. Ricky, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Randy. Thanks for having me on again.
You know, it's great to see you here at the convention. You guys, we're actually standing in your room here where you've held some seminars and a question and answer sessions and kind of educated people about some of the different aspects of mesothelioma and something that that your law group especially is proficient at. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you've heard from people here and some of the confusion maybe with the VA and what you guys do.
Yeah, sure, Randy. Sokolov Law has been coming to the VFW National Convention for the last few years. We're a sponsor here. We'd love to help those who helped us and kept us free. What we talk about during this presentation is we go through early warning signs of the disease, and then we answer some questions. We try to arm our veterans with knowledge so that they're better prepared to figure out their own diagnoses. We get a lot of questions about, is it timely? Can I do this now? Is it too late? And my answer to everybody is, it's never too late to call a lawyer and find out. And so we ask them to call Sokolov Law, give us your facts, and we'll try to help you figure it out. The other thing we find is a lot of questions people have about the tort system, which is the court system that you go to when you have a civil wrong against you, versus VA benefits. Many of them get confused, and they think this is all about getting benefits from the VA. The VA are your benefits. You're veterans. You've earned them. Go get them. What I'm talking to people about is you have rights outside of the VA. It's time to go and hold accountable the businesses who made profits on selling these defective and dangerous products to the U.S. military.
You know, you bring up a good point here, Ricky, and this is, you know, it kind of goes back to the military mentality, too, and we talk about this on the show a lot where, you know, these guys, okay, I just want what I deserved. I want what I earned and nothing more than that. You know, I did my job. I'm back. I served my country. I'm good. Well, maybe you're not good, right?
Yeah. I mean, you didn't deserve lung cancer or mesothelioma, and you got that, too. And so it's time to hold people accountable for that. The companies that did this, they knew that they were going to injure someone. They may not know they were going to injure you, but they knew they were going to injure somebody with these products, and they just kept selling them and making the profits.
You know, and the other question you get a lot, too, about how do I find a good attorney? How do I find the right attorney? And, a lot of people, I just had a buddy of mine that went through this same thing. And when you're looking for a specific attorney for a very personal reason like mesothelioma, how do you do that? How do you find somebody you can trust?
Well, I mean, first thing you do is find somebody you can trust, right? How do you do that? Is you do some research and you try to figure it out. And you look at something like a Sokolov Law, right? My firm. We represent people across the entire country. So the guy down the street may be a wonderful lawyer, but may know nothing about mesothelioma. It's not really the place to start. The place to start is look for people who are recognized out there as leaders in the field and people who can handle your case no matter where it brings them. Because especially veterans, they're rarely exposed in their backyard. They weren't exposed at the plant down the street. They grew up in Iowa, and then they joined the Army, and they ended up in Georgia, and they served in Georgia. Then they went to Germany, and they came back to North Carolina. And so their exposure could have been in multiple jurisdictions. And so having a national law firm that can handle it no matter where it is probably most important to veterans.
So what about that? Okay, now let's talk about the exposure situation for just a minute. You know, so you're maybe exposed in one area, and you don't know that you're entitled to that kind of lawsuit or litigation against that company. How do you gauge the exposure and where these guys have been exposed to the asbestos?
Yeah, I mean, we end up, as a law firm, we end up being investigators, right? You come to us, you tell us your story, and that's where we take over. It's our job to figure out where were you exposed and what the products were. It's not just important to know that, oh, I know there was asbestos at this work site. I have to go, as a lawyer, we have to go out there and say, okay, whose asbestos was it? What manufacturer put that asbestos there? And so we do the research. We go find coworkers who may remember buying it directly from the manufacturer or the distributor. We look at the distributors and manufacturers' records, and we pull those records to see, did they ever sell them to where you were? And obviously the military helps us out a great deal. We go through their records, and they know exactly what they bought and what they put on a ship. And so they give us a list of all the manufacturers, and that starts the process going.
Well, and that's especially helpful here at the VFW National Convention, a group like Sokolov Law that can instruct these folks on what to do, where to get the resources and the education on a condition like mesothelioma. And the thing about this particular deadly disease is that it's fast. I mean, I would think that in a lot of cases, your client is not there for the trial, right?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that very few of these cases go to a trial. Less than 6% across the country was the last statistic I saw on that. At Sokolov Law, even lower numbers, because once you've beaten the defendants up enough, they know that you've got the goods and they're not going to fight you to the end. They don't want the evidence to come out because it makes them look bad and jurors are going to punish them. So those cases settle. But if you're in the right jurisdictions, which, because as a national firm, Sokolov Law can usually get you in the right courthouse, they have expedited dockets, meaning they've got courthouses that are set up for this and will move a living mesothelioma victim's case through very quickly. Oftentimes, from the time that you hire a lawyer until the time that Sokolov Law can get you a trial date is under a year. And with a disease that moves very quickly and that can take a life in less than a year, that's very important to our clients.
Wow. Now, I think you said something really vital there. I mean, that's pretty good. So less than a year, because this disease, it happens fast. I've seen it personally happen, and it's a very, very swift-moving condition. And so I guess, you know, with the resources that Sokolov Law has, and like you said, the multi jurisdictions, so you guys can practice anywhere in the country, correct?
46 states we have licenses, so just about everywhere. Yeah. And what you find is that some states that have set up these systems allow to have living mesothelioma cases go through faster. Some states have it by law; they have to be heard faster. But that's just the lawsuit. That's what drives defendants to want to pay money. But oftentimes, our clients are receiving money in 3 to 6 months from the time they call us, not a year later, because some of the defendants we already know, and they know that we've got the evidence on them. They start settling out sooner, and they don't have to wait for the trial. By the time you get to a trial date, you're usually down to only one of the defendants or two defendants that are holding out, and those are the ones who put their feet to the fire.
How many times do you go after the same folks? I mean, do they say, oh, here comes Ricky again?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you end up knowing defense counsel because it's the same people on every case over and over again, and our firm, I don't want to think it's me going in every courtroom. There's over 55 lawyers that we have dedicated to just doing mesothelioma.
Is that right? 55 lawyers at your firm just for mesothelioma?
Well, in our firm and in associated firms, we have law firms that we work with in other jurisdictions, and we can bring those in. That's just, they say, 55 lawyers to that. That's not the lung cancers and asbestosis cases. Those are another group of lawyers that handle those. So it's set up to get justice for people. And, you know, justice delayed is justice denied, right? It's an old expression.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now, what about since we're here at the VFW National Convention, what if something happens that's not military related and they come to you? You know, you talk to a veteran and they say, I'm not exactly sure where I got in touch with the asbestos. It could have been on a ship, may not have been. What if it happened after their military career?
Yeah, this, you know, again, we're not talking about VA benefits, so whether it's service related or not is irrelevant to us. We come to the convention, though, because less than 1% of Americans serve in the military, yet 40% of our mesothelioma victims are service people. And so we recognized early on that this is a group of people who, not only in the service, but also in the trades when they leave the service, continue to be exposed. I had a guy at the convention come up to me just a few hours ago that said, what about printing presses? I worked as a printer afterwards, and we used to use asbestos around the hot pots, and they would come and mix it and wrap it around the pots. And I said, you know, I've had two printers I think I can remember in my career, and both of them were the maintenance guys at the print shop, which were doing all kinds of other kind of work. But the actual guys running the presses, I never had, but I can see how it could happen, because the maintenance guy is not doing it in a vacuum. He's doing it right next door to the guy who's running the machine, so he probably could have been exposed there too.
What are some of the other industries? I know the auto industry certainly is big in the Meso feel. What else?
Yeah, well, the auto industry, we call that the friction products, which means ones that are designed to rub. Brakes and clutches are namely those products. But any industry with high heat, so if you are in a power plant or you are working in a steel mill or any place that has high heat, usually uses asbestos because of its propensities and its ability to stand up and withstand high temperatures. But you're talking about all the trades, whether you are a plumber, an electrician, a drywaller, a painter, HVAC, because you all work next to each other and they're all using it. If you take a room like we're standing in today, Randy, and you think about when it was built, if it was built in the 60s rather than this new complex we're in, if it was, the floor you're standing on would be some type of asbestos-containing tile because it's very strong. The walls would be made of sheetrock, which in most cases are probably okay, but the joint compound they put over it is not, and that guy has to be sanded down and the dust will go everywhere. The ceiling tiles you see above are acoustic ceiling tiles, right? Those ceiling tiles in the 60s or 70s easily would have been made out of asbestos. The roof on this building with asphalt shingles would also be asbestos. The outside walls, asbestos. So anyone in the building trade is highly exposed, but also anybody in oil refineries or, as I said before, or power plants, et cetera, where there's high heat is probably exposed as well.
You know, and mesothelioma, too, is one of those conditions that doesn't show up until late after you've been involved with asbestos sometimes. I know with my friend it did. I mean, it was later in life. So, I mean, I think the thought here and the great thing about you guys being at the National Convention is that get that education now. I mean, even if you don't have mesothelioma, especially if you don't have mesothelioma, right?
Yeah, I always say I hope I never represent you to every person I meet because nobody wants someone to have mesothelioma. And you're talking about 30 to 50 years later is when people are coming up with this disease. As I say every day in the seminars we have here at the National Convention, I tell them, I can't stop you from getting mesothelioma. You were exposed maybe before I was born, right? You know, World War II guys that come in, right? I can't stop it. You either have it in you or you don't. What I can do is arm you with information about early warning signs. I can tell you the most important lesson I give all of them. Tell your doctor you were exposed to asbestos. Mm-hmm. If you don't tell him, he's not looking for it or she's not looking for it. They're not going to look for asbestos. They're going to think you have pneumonia or a low back pain from working around the house. They're not going to equate it to the fact that it may actually be a more deadly or serious injury condition like mesothelioma or lung cancer.
Hey, Ricky, have these mesothelioma cases, have they plateaued? I've heard from some people that maybe the cases have plateaued. They've gotten to a point where they're manageable numbers-wise.
Yeah, we hit a high a few years ago, but it's negligible, the difference. Instead of, you know, we're still at about 3,000 to 3,200 mesothelioma diagnoses in the U.S. every year. That number is hovered around that for quite some time. It's always been estimated somewhere between 2,500 and 3,500, and it hasn't changed. You know, maybe before it was closer to 35 and 37, and it's at 32. It really hasn't. And we don't see anything happening to it, most likely, for another 20 or 30 years.
What's, again, where can people get more information about Sokoloff Law and find out how to contact you?
Yeah, it's the modern world, right? You go to the web. And so you can go to Sokoloff Law at sokolofflaw.com, and you'll find a lot of information there. We also have another site called Mesothelioma Help Now that can also be helpful to you, too. That's mesothelioma.helpnow.com or sokolofflaw.com.
We're standing guard with the truth, the National Defense.